It is our pleasure, as we continue our coverage of Cardinals OTAs from the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center, to welcome new defensive coordinator Vance Joseph to the show for the first time. Coach, how are you?
I'm good.
Thanks for coming in.
How are you guys?
Good. We're doing great, man. Thank you for joining us.
We've been in here for 3 weeks. We've had player after player after player. You're the first coach we get to talk to.
Is that right?
Yes.
You know what's good? You know what's good, too? Because the players come in, they're all sweaty. They've been kind of ripe, Vance. You come in, you're fresh, dude.
Yeah. I don't want to be ripe. Ever.
Right, ever.
Before practice, after,
never. After, whenever. Okay, what do we make of number 21, Patrick Peterson, being out there today? Did you know it was coming? How important is it that he gets back assimilated with everything here?
Yeah, we knew he was coming back in. And, you know, it's important. It's important for his teammates. It's important for him. It's a new system, you know, so he has to come in and figure out the system so he can play well for us. Obviously, he's going to be gone for the first 6 weeks. You know, we understand that. He understands that. But when he comes back, obviously, he's going to help us, you know, be a better defense. You know, so it's important he comes in and learn what to do right now.
All right, so when he learns that, and even though it will be only week 7 when you get to see him in this defense for the first time, ideally, what does Patrick Peterson's role look like? What is his impact potentially in this defense?
His role won't change much. I mean, he's a number one lockdown corner. So my vision for Pat P is to take away their best receiver each week. You know, that's why we pay him. And he wants that challenge.
Yeah.
You know, so that's Pat's role. You know, so until Pat gets back, you know, we've got to play different ways, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, we have guys that's capable behind Patrick that's been starters in the NFL with Brock and those guys. You know, so I'm excited about that group also. But when Pat gets back, I mean, he's going to be Pat P for us.
Exactly.
He's going to be our lockdown number one corner.
We weren't certain if he was going to be here during any of the voluntary portions of this. This is a good sign that he's here. In what ways can he help, mentor, teach, get other guys acclimated while he's gone?
In a lot of ways. You know, I mean, Pat P being here today, you know, being here for the last 4 OTAs and being here for the mandatory minicamp, that's huge for our team. You know, we've got some young guys in the secondary that can learn from his experience. You know, and again, you know, when everyone's here, it just feels right.
Yeah.
You know, obviously it's not mandatory, guys, but, you know, it's mandatory to win games, right? It's mandatory to build the best defense we can.
Yeah.
So I understand it's not mandatory, but it's a good feeling when everyone's here. And when Pat's here, you know, you just feel more complete, you know, and the room feels more complete. And, you know, he had a great day. He was happy. He was into it. I tell you what, he learns very, very fast. You know, so he didn't miss much as far as calls today.
Mm-hmm.
He jumped in and did his job.
That's good. That's really good.
Defensive coordinator Vance Joseph, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. Moving away from Patrick more to the defense as a whole, how pleased are you with this? I know it's early and a lot of this is a learning process, but how pleased are you with what's going on?
Well, I'm pleased with the group. You know, we have a very, very compliant group. You know, these guys, if you ask them to chase the ball, they chase the ball. If you ask them to study, they study. You know, we've put a bunch of defense in on purpose, you know, and we've had very, very few mistakes because guys study. You know, Jordan Hicks is a quarterback on defense, man. He can unwind it. So he was a good get for us. Hassan Reddick's had a great offseason. And Chandler Jones has been a stud.
Yeah.
He had missed one day, man, and he is a great leader, and he works every day. Corey Peters has been here every day. He's working hard. So right now, we've put a bunch of defense, and that's purpose because we don't want to be in week 12 reinventing calls to win games. You know, we want a bunch of bullets so we can work them and learn them, you know, so when we get into the week 14, 15 part of the season, we can just pull from our library, you know. And it helps the players to scratch their brains now, right? You scratch their brains, and they get used to hearing volume, and then in the fall, you shrink it down, man. It feels like first grade again.
Yeah.
So it's all done by purpose, and the guys have been great. They study. They work hard. It's a great group. It's a very, very compliant group.
Yeah, and that's twice now you've used that word. I'm very intrigued by it. What makes a football team compliant?
Well, what makes them compliant, you know, it's, you know, once we agree on how we're going to do something, they actually just do it. You know, I mean, you can have meetings where guys don't agree.
Yeah. Okay?
But once we go to the field, right, we all agree. That makes all of us compliant, even coaches, right? I mean, we have meetings where it's never just kumbaya all the time,
right?
It gets heated, even with players, right? So we're asking players to do different things, right? And them being compliant and trying it, right? Even if it's out of their skill set, right? For instance, this, right? We're facing a bunch of four wides. Right, Hassan Reddick's our dime backer, so he's been covering receivers for the last 3 weeks. Right, I won't give him a receiver during the fall, but it's helping him with his coverage game by covering a faster guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's being compliant, not complaining about it, just going out and doing what coach asked you to do. yeah. right, for the bigger picture of it. So this group is a great group, man. I mean, they communicate well. They show up and they work every single day. So we have a chance to be great because they are compliant. We have a chance.
Vance Joseph, defensive coordinator of the Cardinals, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. In this transition from to Cliff Kingsbury in his first year as a head coach, first year in pro coaching,
sure.
a lot has been made of his leaning on Steve Keim to put the staff together.
Right.
When you were brought in with your head coaching experience, a lot was made of that. That's somebody that Cliff Kingsbury can really rely on. How much has he leaned on you early on in this process?
We've talked a lot, you know. Especially about schedules and about, you know, how you practice in this league and those things and, you know, some of the rules stuff. But for the most part, you know, being a head coach, I mean, he's been there before. Mm-hmm. You know, in a college job, guys, it's a huge, huge job, you know. Our job in the NFL, it's a huge job, but it's a football job only.
Yeah.
You know, so where Cliff's coming from, I mean, he had a lot of responsibility from academics to recruiting to coaching a football team.
The
I mean,
boosters.
Here we coach football
right.
all the time.
Right.
So in my opinion, going from the college to the pro job, I mean, it becomes a singular job, and that's coaching and winning football games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's going to be good at that. I mean, he is a absolute hard worker. Okay, he's a smart guy, and he understands quarterback play.
Yeah.
That's huge.
In theory, when you look at this, if you've got a head coach who has never coached down in the NFL, and he comes, and no matter how smart he is, if
right.
his assistants like you are handpicked for him to help him, and guys like you have experience mm-hmm. doing this job before, in theory, it might be a dangerous situation if the guy on top doesn't have the goods, and then maybe the guys underneath him might be okay. We don't know if you know what I mean.
Right.
It could invoke a lot of things, backstabbing. I'm not saying it would ever happen here, but
right.
in theory, it could happen. What's going to keep everybody of pure hearts and pure minds in terms of keeping the hierarchy sacred and intact going
right.
forward?
First of all, he has the goods, right?
Okay.
He has great swagger. Right. And the players respect him, right? This is mm-hmm. this is a player's job. That's the job. It's the players.
Yeah.
Right. So he has the players' attention. Okay. Second of all, he has a staff full of good men.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, he has good guys on his football staff. So that won't ever happen. You know, we've got his back. He's got our back. And it's always a team effort, guys. Right. And I mean, he understands that. You know, we have meetings. And again, it's about being compliant. Right. We may have a hard conversation. But once that door closes, right, we're all on one page. And that's what's important. So we've got his back. He has the goods. He's a confident guy. And again, guys, I mean, he's an offensive guy that calls plays in this league. That's important because you have to score points. And defensively, I got his back.
Yeah.
You know, but he is the head coach. But it's going to be a combination, you know, of the entire staff helping out.
That's great.
Right? I mean, if he had 15 years in the league, it wouldn't change much.
Yeah.
It's always a combination of your staff helping out.
Yeah.
You know, and more guys do more than others, but it's still everyone working in the same direction. And his staff will.
Defensive coordinator Vance Joseph, our guest here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. In terms of your recent experience,
yeah.
moving from Denver now to this job in Arizona, what was your biggest takeaway, maybe your biggest learning experience from your time in
from
Denver?
From Denver?
Yes.
Well, just winning more football games. You know, obviously in Denver, the expectations were huge from day one, and I got that. You know, I played college ball in Boulder. I knew John for a long time, so I knew the expectations, right? We didn't win enough games. You know, and that falls on me ultimately, and that's what I learned about the job.
You know, the winning is mandatory.
You've gotta win games. You know, and I went in there, and you know, we had some players from the previous Super Bowl teams, and you know, and having a combination of those guys and some new veterans, it was a tough job from time to time. But again, guys, it's about winning football games. And didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you were in a tough market with a lot of expectations. Mm-hmm. How did
that's
the experience
okay.
help you? Did it make you a better coach?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it was a tough job, but you know, from game management to the draft to picking players to having philosophy where you keep your team playing hard each week. And that's one thing I was proud of in Denver, mm-hmm. right? You know, our first year we had some hard scratches, but if you watched the tape, you couldn't tell.
Yeah.
Right. We had no one loafing, no one giving up. Even last year, you know, we had a tough stretch, you know, where we lost three or four in a row, but you couldn't tell, you know. We won four in a row last year, and we had a chance to flip the season, and we lost, you know, two or three of our major players, and that kills you also.
Yeah,
but again,
yeah.
guys, it's really about moving forward. I'm happy to be here, and the bottom line, with the head coaching job, you've got to win games.
All right, as a defensive mind and coach in this league, when you look at number one out there playing quarterback, what are your first impressions?
Well, obviously, he's the first pick for a reason. I mean, he's got a special skill set as far as throwing a football. And obviously, he's a 4-4 guy maybe with his legs. And that's to me, that's secondary when you watch him practice. I mean, he is a passer first that can obviously move and get out of danger when he has to. But he's looking to pass first, and he's made some impressive throws in practice. And, you know, obviously he's still young. He's going to get better, but I think he's got a bright future.
Yeah.
I mean, he was definitely the right pick for this football team. He's got a confidence about him. His teammates rally behind him all the time. You watch him with his teammates. He's got a maturity and a toughness you can see about him.
Mm-hmm.
So even due to hard times, he won't waver. He won't waver.
Last year, even with all the individual talent on the defense, season got sideways because the Cardinals could just not button up the run. They just could not win on the point of attack. Does going back to the 3-4 help that? What are your thoughts on defending the run and making sure that foundation is covered?
I think stopping the run is not about your front structure.
Right.
Right? I mean, 4-3 or 34, it's got to be a mindset. It's got to be a structure in place to stop the run. You know, most of the teams stop the run with numbers, right? So to play single high and to play man free, you've got to have corners, you know. But the best defense is honestly stop the run with shell defense, right? If you can play a coverage friendly defense and still stop the run with a six, seven man box, that's the genius, right? It's not genius when you've got one more than they've got and the corners on the island all game. It's no genius in that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we can go to that anytime we want, but I think stopping a run with a fair box, guys winning one-on-one blocks, linebackers getting downhill, taking the blocks off the D-lineman, that's where the coaching and the genius come in. And so we'll do both, hopefully, but, you know, stopping a run, it's got to be a priority because that's where you control the game, right? It does not win games for you. The pass game, defending the pass game, wins games, in my opinion, in this league. Mm-hmm. But stopping a run allows you to control a game more often than not.
Wanted to get your thoughts on a couple of the young guys that you could rely on pretty heavily this year, and Byron Murphy and Zach Allen. What have you seen from those two guys so far?
Well, Murph, the first week, you can tell he was a rookie. You know, I mean, he had a lot going on. He was playing nickel. He was playing some single safety. He was playing corner. So Coach Greg Williams said, Coach, let's give him one job. Okay, so we gave him the corner job for about 3 days, and you saw the guy we drafted, right? The quickness came back, the playmaking ability came back, the confidence came back. So now he's doing more nickel stuff now with Tremaine Brock being down for a couple weeks, and it's been good for him, but he's going to be okay. You know, it takes time, just like a young quarterback, a young corner takes time. You know, if you don't raise them right, they can have some hard downs early, and you can lose them early.
Yeah.
You know, so we're being very careful with him because we know he's got the goods, right? He's got a bright future. But how fast we push him out there in the fire, we got to be careful, you know, make sure he's ready for it. I think Zach Allen's is a good pro. I mean, a third-round pick. I mean, he probably should have been a second-round pick. But, you know, great height, great explosiveness, and he plays hard. He's got a knack for pass rushing on guards, winning on guards, and knocking down balls, you know.
Yeah.
When the pass rush gets short and the ball's being thrown, he's got a little bit of wide in him where he can knock down balls. So person-wise, he's competitive. He's so smart. He's going to be successful. So those two guys we drafted in the second and third round, they will help us early on. But we got to make sure we get them ready to do those things.
I don't know if you've heard this before, but our producer, anytime he plays a Cliff Kingsbury soundbite, because of the bass in Cliff's voice, will play a Barry White music bed in the background. I got to tell you, between Coach Kingsbury and you, Coach Joseph, I mean, there's...
Got some pipes, dude.
You guys got the best speaking voices of any staff.
From practice. I'm chewing on cough drops every day at practice.
Right? Are you really?
I didn't coach that much last year, man.
Right.
He got me coaching now, you know. I was... Well, doing an easy job last year.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know if you.
I'm back to coaching now.
I don't know if you heard this, but I'm sure you did. You're the one that said it. When you announced it, we were going back to a 3-4 here, everybody applauded, right?
Yeah.
You must have thought, what the heck is that all about?
Yeah.
That's how bad it was here last
year.
Yeah,
I get it.
So you know.
I get it. Obviously, it wasn't about being in 3-4, 4-3.
Right.
I've been in both defenses and been successful. I think it's about the mindset. I think the 3-4 gives players a different type of mindset. It's an attacking mindset, and 4-3 just sounds so plain Jane, right?
Yeah.
The fort rusher's known.
Right.
No deception to it. The 3-4's got deception. You know, that's why you want to be in the 3-4. That fort rusher, whoever he is, you can dictate, you know, who you want blocking Chandler Jones, who you want blocking Suggs, who you want blocking Hassan Reddick. So I think the 34 gives you those chances on early downs to dictate deep protections and to dictate who's blocking guys.
Yeah, and deep players, they love themselves some sacks, don't
Absolutely.
They?
Absolutely. I love sacks, too.
Last thing real quick. What are your thoughts on blitzing? You don't have to give away your trade secrets here. Some guys get crazy with it. Some are a little marginal. What are your thoughts on how often you
like
to do it?
I think blitzing has to have a purpose. You know, you've got run blitzes, you've got run pass blitzes, you've got pass blitzes. So it's all done with purpose, you know. And the bottom line, when you're game planning, you're checking out the offense's protections, right? So you can simply bring four to the side sometimes and not overload yourself with coverage issues and still get home. So I think it's a study and a science to how you attack protections, right? You don't have to be in cover zero to get one guy free. You don't. Mm. So I think each week it's a different game plan, and, you know, I think disguising the front and making the offense do certain things they don't want to do, that's the way you attack with pressures. You know, yeah. And sometimes the four-down pressures don't work as well because what you see on tape is not what you're going to get because of game plans, right? Like last year with Von Miller, anytime we had a four-man pressure, my first year I was like, man, what's going on with the game plans? But it wasn't the game plan. It was Von Miller, right? So what I saw on tape didn't happen. They were turning into Von Miller. So my second year, I figured out Von Miller's going to be a decoy this week.
Yeah, right.
So they're going to turn to Von, and we're bringing four away from Von. So, I mean, those things happen on game day. You got to be careful with. So having certain packages to dictate protections is the key.
Yeah. Awesome.
Coach, thanks so much for coming in. Great to meet you. That was great stuff. Really appreciate it.
Awesome, man. Good football talk.
Coach Vance Joseph, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Want to remind you the Cardinal season tickets are on sale now. The 2019 home schedule includes visits by the Steelers, Browns, Panthers, Lions, and Falcons, as well as the Seahawks, Rams, and 49ers. And the Cardinals have sold out all 134 games since they opened State Farm Stadium. If you want information on Cardinal season tickets, call 602-379-0102 or visit azcardinals.com/tickets.